गोपी जन वल्लभ भागिरेवार दारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार दारी यशोदानन्द व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दना व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिभाषिक चर्य आस्तोतर सत्य शिशिमार भय छन्न भक्त स्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भगवताम की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑ ग्लोरी टू दी असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑ ग्लोरी टू दी असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑ ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु श्री गौरांग श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I think we start on 16, but since there's no purport, we'll repeat text number 17. So I'll read text 16. Maitreya Uvacha क्षमाप्यायवं समिद्वंसं Brahmachanu mandrita karma sansana karma sandayanamasa sopadhyaya dvighadibhi. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya said, thus being pardoned by Lord Shiva, King Daksha, with the permission of Lord Brahma, again began the performance of the Jagya, along with the great learned sages, the priests, and others. So, text number 17. Vaishnavam Jagya Santatyai Trikapalam Dvijotama Purudhasham Niravapam Virasam Sagashudaye Vaishnavam Jagya Santatyai Trikapalam Dvijotama Purudasham Niravapam Virasam Sargashudhaye Vaishnavam Jagya Santatyai Trikapalam Dvijotama Purudasham Niravapam Virasam Sargashudhaye Vaishnavam Yagya Santatya Samsagashudaye Vaishnavam Yagya Samsatai Kapalam Dijotama Purudasham Niravapam Virasam Sarashudhaye Vaishnavam Yagya Santatyai Trikapalam Dijotama Ladies, Vaishnavam Yagya Santatyai Trikapalam Dijotama Purudasham Niravapam Virasam Sagasudaye Vaishnavam Yagya Santatyai Trikapalam Dijotama Purudasham Niravapam Virasam Sagashudaye Vaishnavam Yagya Santatyai Vaishnavam, meant for Lord Vishnu, or his devotees. Yajna, sacrifice. Santatyai, for performances. Chikapalam, three kinds of offerings. Dvija Uttama, the best of the Brahmins. Purudasham, the oblation called Purudasha. Niravapam, offered. Vira, Virabhadra, and other followers of Lord Shiva. Samsarga, contamination. Dosha, due to his touching. Shudaye, for purification. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, in order to resume the activities of sacrifice, the Brahmins first arranged to purify the sacrificial arena of the contamination caused by the touch of Virabhadra and the other ghostly followers of Lord Shiva. Then they arranged to offer into the fire the oblations known as Purudasha. So please repeat. Thereafter, in order to resume the activities of sacrifice, the Brahmanas first arranged to purify the sacrificial arena of the contamination caused by the touch of Virabhadra and the other ghostly followers of Lord Shiva. Then they arranged to offer into the fire the oblations known as Purudasha. Purport. Lord Shiva's followers and devotees, headed by Virabhadra, are known as Viras, and they are ghostly demons. Not only did they pollute the entire sacrificial arena by their very presence, but they disturbed the whole situation by passing stool and urine. Therefore, the infection they had created was to be first purified by the method of offering Purudasha oblations. A Vishnu Jagya, or an offering to Lord Vishnu, cannot be performed uncleanly. To offer anything in an unclean state is called Seva Aparad. The worship of the Vishnu deity in the temple is also called Vishnu Jagya. In all Vishnu temples, therefore, the priest who takes care of the Archana Vidhi must be very clean. Everything should be always kept neat and clean, and the foodstuffs should be prepared in a neat and clean manner. All these regulative principles are described in the Nectar of Devotion. There are 32 kinds of offenses in discharging Archana service. It is required, therefore, that one be extremely careful not to be unclean. Generally, whenever any ritualistic ceremony is begun, the holy name of Lord Vishnu is first chanted in order to purify the situation. Whether one is in a pure or impure condition, internally or externally, if one chants or even remembers the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, one immediately becomes purified. The Jagya Arena was desecrated by the presence of Lord Shiva's followers, headed by Virabhadra, and therefore the entire arena had to be sanctified. Although Lord Shiva was present and he is all auspicious, it was still necessary to sanctify the place because his followers had broken into the arena and committed so many obnoxious acts. That sanctification was possible only by chanting the holy name of Vishnu, Trikapala, which can sanctify the three worlds. In other words, it is admitted herein that the followers of Lord Shiva are generally unclean. They are not even hygienic. They do not take baths regularly. They wear long hair and they smoke ganja. Persons of such irregular habits are counted amongst the ghosts. Since they were present in the sacrificial arena, the atmosphere became polluted, and it had to be sanctified by the Trikapala oblations, which indicated the invocation of Vishnu's favor. Om Gyanti Madandasya Ganam Jana Shurakaya Chakshurum Militam Yenatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadapayam Dharati Shva Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudapani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatilishatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Dvaita Garadha Shivashuri Gaudabhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. In the first verse that we just had no purport, there's an important point. Being pardoned by Lord Shiva, King Daksha, with the permission of Lord Brahma, again began to perform the yajna along with the great learned sages and the priests and others. So nothing can be done in Krishna consciousness without the sanction of the predecessor acharyas. A devotee of all different types of recommended processes. The five most recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are sadhu sangha, first of all, taking association from devotees, because without association of devotees, then everything becomes impure. Here in the following verse, we're speaking about impurity. But purity is only possible with the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And then Namakirtan, chanting of the holy name, Bhagavata Shravana, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the three main items. And also living in a holy place and worshipping Tulsi Devi and the deity. So these things, these five items are essential. And here we see that Daksha receives the blessings of Lord Shiva, first by praying. So if we want the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we should also pray. Just like to do Sankirtan, to do Puja, to do anything, we pray for the mercy of the spiritual master, for Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. And then we're allowed to do something. Actually, devotional service is a privilege. It's not something that's automatically there. Although it is mentioned that also devotional service is our natural inheritance. But just like any inheritance, like in this country, to get an inheritance you have to go through probate court and so many things. There's a procedure. So the procedure also to get the inheritance of devotional service, which Krishna wants to give to us, is that we take the blessings from the parampara. So Daksha has the permission and blessings of Lord Shiva. And the first thing that is that they purify the arena of sacrifice. Here's described how disturbing the followers of Lord Shiva are. That helps us to understand how disturbing the activities of Kali Yuga are. Just like Srila Prabhupada in one time when he was arriving, one arrival address, he spoke about Jagaya Madai, how impure they were, how contaminated they were. And then Srila Prabhupada said, actually, all of my disciples, they are like Jagaya Madai. He said, they were so impure, because Kali Yuga is like this particular sacrifice, arena, sacrificial arena. Everything is contaminated. Just like even people who come to devotional service, come to Krishna consciousness, sometimes they have so much difficulty because the atmosphere is so surcharged with impurity. Even like young devotees, sometimes they have so much trouble controlling their mind, especially in the matter of sex life, because it's being promoted everywhere. It's the main means of propaganda, to sell everything, to do everything, what people are thinking about, what people are speaking about. So it becomes so ingrained in the mind. Just like I have one disciple from South India, and he said that he really never even understood much about even the process of sex life until he was like 17 or 18 years old. No. It just wasn't there, it wasn't present, it wasn't part of his. He grew up in a very strict Vaishnava family. He wasn't agitated, no. Like nowadays we see people 11, 12 years old so agitated because of this propaganda. But if one hears about Krishna, then these things, you know, it's just something that, just part of life. It's not some big deal. No. But now, in these countries, it's such a disturbance. So, the whole atmosphere is disturbed. And Srila Prabhupada said, so now they have become purified by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He said, but do not go back, because the society you live in, it is complete atmosphere of Jagaya Madai. So if we associate with this atmosphere, then we become contaminated. So to carry out, as Srila Prabhupada says here, the Vishnu Jagya. No? The Vishnu Jagya for this age is Sankirtan Jagya. No? So to carry out the Sankirtan Jagya, one has to be very careful. No? And Shinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam. We have to chant and hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to maintain the sacrificial arena very pure. Srila Prabhupada refers here to the verse Om Apavitra Pavitrova Savavastam Gatasuva Yashmerit Pundarikaksham. And if we remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord, then in any condition we can execute devotional service. Just like Jiva Goswami has established that for this age, for this present moment, every devotional activity, just like deity worship. Now, if we compare our deity worship to deity worship in previous yugas, in the Dwarpa Yuga, or if we compare our sacrifices to the sacrifices done in Treta Yuga, or if we compare our meditation to the meditation done in Satya Yuga, then we're nowhere. We have no gold, we have no silver, we have no jewels, and even if we had them, someone would steal them. Just like in Guadalajara, one time somebody came in and stole all of our deity paraphernalia because they thought it was gold and silver, and they figured out it was just, imitation. Probably just threw it away or something. No. Just like sometimes people steal a wallet and there's no money in it, they just throw it away. They don't bother to return it. So, even in Tirupati, where they use jewels, they have like 10 different levels of guards. You have to go through this one and that one, and this one knows the combination of this place, so he can get the combination to that place. And this one has the key, and another one has to accompany him, just to get to the paraphernalia of the Lord, because it's Kali Yuga. So what is our deity worship? No. Our deity worship becomes pure, and the Lord accepts it by the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, Jiva Goswami said, before any activity and after any devotional activity, there should be the chanting of the holy name. No. This will make it actually a bona fide activity. Otherwise, there's no possibility that we can perform things properly. So, Srila Prabhupada speaks here also about aparad, seva aparad in this case. That these aparads have to be avoided. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that there are basically four categories of aparad. That there is Krishna aparad, aparads or offenses against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and Swarupaparad, that offenses against his form, which means also his paraphernalia, his worship, his dham. No. These things all have to be avoided. And then there is Tadiya Aparad. No. Offenses against the devotees of the Lord, which are the most serious. All of the other, and then lastly, Jiva Aparad. Even offenses against living entities. Just like one of the offenses mentioned by Jiva Goswami is frightening or disturbing any living entity. No. So this is even considered an aparad. One has to be careful. Even there's a little cat or dog, we have to be careful not to frighten them. Some pigeon, just Hare Krishna. So if he gets scared, at least he can hear the holy name. So all these aparads are very serious. They can all be mitigated by the chanting of the holy name, except for offenses against devotees. Those offenses, one has to ask permission. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, and in the case of Devananda Pandit, he was trying to figure out how to recompense for his aparad. And it was told to him, the Lord himself said, because the question came up that what if the person that you commit the aparad against is not present? Well, then what do you do? So then the Lord said that one should simply serve all of the Vaishnavas. Just like Madai, when he committed such a grievous offense against Lord Nityananda, then afterwards, after he had been pardoned and after he was feeling the bliss of the holy name, he met with Lord Nityananda and he offered prayers saying, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you manifest the three worlds, you support the whole universe. He said so many prayers, and I have committed an offense against you. What is my hope? So Lord Nityananda instructed him he should build a ghat so that everyone could come and bathe in the Ganga, and in that way he would be serving the Vaishnavas. But he felt that his offenses were so great that he stayed on the last steps of the ghat, and every time someone came, any resident of Navadvip, he would offer his obeisances, offer his dandavats. So this is how one can be pardoned from these offenses. And actually, there was one instance in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur where the offenses were the holy name was being discussed and offenses were committed, and the consequence of the offense was manifested. That when Haridas Thakur one time arrived at the house of Hiranya and Govardhan. So he arrived and he was greeted by everyone, and everybody began to speak his glories. Here's Haridas Thakur. He's chanting 300,000 names daily. And so everybody was very amazed, and the brothers were in ecstasy just hearing the glories of Haridas Thakur. And then, so someone said, yes, the holy name is so wonderful. Actually, some of the Brahmins there, they said, the holy name is so wonderful. Actually, by chanting the holy name, one can be freed from all sinful activities. And someone else said, yes, by chanting the holy name, one can achieve liberation. But Haridas, he protested. He said, no, these are actually byproducts of chanting the holy name. No. They actually, by chanting the holy name, just like a jamil, one can be freed from everything and actually go to the spiritual world. What to speak of one who chants the holy name with great enthusiasm. No. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, speaking on a statement of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that if you even chant the holy name incorrectly, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned this many times, if you chant the holy name incorrectly, even then, the holy name will have great effect. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because sometimes people ask, what about, like nowadays we have Super Rama, Bola Rama, and so many Ramas, Ramadan, all these Ramas everywhere. So what about this chanting? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if one chants for sense gratification or chants unconsciously, then even though one is getting the effect of purification of the holy name, one is committing so many offenses that practically there is no benefit. So that's how we can understand it. Because some little benefit is there, you know, because people are chanting, but they're also committing so many offenses that their benefit is annihilated or somehow or another, you know, canceled. But if one chants, even unconsciously, then one gets so much benefit. So, Haridas, he began to speak, and he said, he actually spoke one verse from Padyavali, from Rupa Goswami, saying that even when there is a glimpse of the pure chanting of the holy name, even when there is a slight glimmer coming from the pure chanting of the holy name, then one's love of Krishna begins to awaken, and all other things are automatically performed. So Haridas said, does anyone want to explain this verse? And everybody said, no, you explain it. You're the most qualified. So he said, yes, just like when the sun is arising on the horizon. Of course, sometimes here there's fog, so you can't see that too well. But just when the first rays of light appear, all the effects of darkness, ghostly personality, just like we're discussing ghostly presence. So all the ghostly presence becomes, is dissipated. And thieves and rogues and all types of living entities that thrive on darkness, they're all, they're gotten rid of. They're dissipated. And then, when the sun actually rises, then we get the full benefit of the sun's rays. So when the sun of the holy name, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanted, Abhidyati mera tapana rupe hridgagane vidaje, that when the sun rises within the heart, the sun of the holy name, then all avidya, all ignorance, all timira, all darkness are dissipated immediately. And when the sun reaches the position, just like when we have a noon sun, there's no shadow. No, or the shadow is right below you can't see it. So when the holy name is fully manifested within the heart, then there is no ignorance. There's no, nothing remains. One is actually 100% purified. So Haridas Thakur gave this example. So he said, in this way, you know, although the holy name certainly does, iti shodashakam nam nam kali kalma shanam, it destroys, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra destroys the effects of Kali Yuga, all sinful activity, certainly. But this is a byproduct. You know? Just like in the Bhagavatam it says that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yuga Paryojitaha Janayat Yasyu Vairagyam Jnana Chaya Dahaitukam, that when one performs devotional service, one actually becomes ecstatic. And as a byproduct, that knowledge and detachment are also there. Otherwise, these things automatically come by devotional service. And also by chanting the holy name, liberation. As Bilba Mangala Thakur says, that mukti swayam, mukali anjali, that mukti, that liberation, will stand with folded hands at the doorstep of the Vaishnava. No. Simply, when that Vaishnav is performing devotional service, actually chants the holy name perfectly and purely, then liberation is just awaiting to serve him. Maya wants to serve the devotee by giving all facility, you know, when a devotee is actually pure. Of course, sometimes by Krishna's arrangement, Maya gives so many tests to a devotee even in a purified state. So Haridas, in this way, explained the glories of the pure chanting. But there was one person present, Gopal Chakravarti. No. Gopal Chakravarti, he was very puffed up Brahmin. He was very beautiful, and beautiful features. He had all good so-called good karma. You know. Good karma usually gets people into trouble, but he had all this good, just like in his case. So he was like very proud of his. He said, "I object." He said, "There's no way, after millions of lifetimes, one can achieve the effects of all one's sacrifices and austerities and penances and attain liberation. So how can simply by chanting this name, who wants to listen to this emotional devotee, Haridas? No, just some sentimentalist, just like Prakashananda Saraswati was challenging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is this sentimentalist dancing in the streets? You know, just like some ordinary people." So everybody was just, and then he said, "If I tell you, Haridas, if by chanting one does not achieve liberation, then I will cut off your nose." No. So you can imagine how everybody felt. They're practically ready to kill him, just like, you know, just like Bhima and the Pandavas when Shishupal was insulting Krishna. They were just ready to go for him, but you know, everybody, Haridas was also contained. He said, no, that is all right. If it's not achieved, I will cut off my own nose. No, you don't have to do it for me. I'll do it myself. No. So everybody was appalled, and they said, you know, immediately Govinda dismissed him from his service. He was serving them by being tax collector because they were in charge of that area. Said, "You're dismissed, you're fired." No. And another Brahmin said, "You be careful what you say to Haridas, otherwise you will achieve ruination." And then he was very disturbed. He went off. And then everybody said, "We're so sorry." And he said, "No, do not. This so-called Brahmin, no, he is simply puffed up by his knowledge and by the false logic and argument." And then Haridas said, "By logic and argument, one cannot understand the holy name. Tako patishta shutayo bibinam. No, not by scriptures, not by logic. Nashabishu yasya matam nabinam. Not by being a great philosopher. Sometimes devotees want to study Sanskrit or something, try to get a special insight on Shastra. But the actual insight comes from Sri Guru, Sri Vaishnava, and from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. No, not from study of Sanskrit or becoming a logician." So Haridas said, "We should just don't ignore him. There's no reason to be upset." But anyway, they were very upset. And just the next day, or 3 days later, I think it was, that Gopal Chakravarti, he got leprosy, and his nose, his beautiful nose that he was going to cut off of Haridas, melted away. You know, and his fingers just fell off his hands. And everybody, when they heard this, they began to praise Haridas and began to praise the glories of a great devotee. And they were all very careful not to commit any aparad. And Haridas, when he heard about it, he was very sad. Not like us. If something like that happened, we would be thinking, "Oh, he got his." No. Krishna showed him. No, but he was not happy. Although Srila Prabhupada, we have to admit that Srila Prabhupada, when Mr. Nair left his body, Srila Prabhupada was a little happy. No, he was a little happy because he was giving so much disturbance. But that's because he was attacking the devotees. No. Actually, if someone is attacking the devotees directly, then a devotee becomes happy to see such a person taken out of the picture, so to speak. No. As they say in colloquial terms, take him down. No? So the devotee feels happy if Krishna removes such a person if they're actually committing offenses to the Vaishnavas. But because he committed offense to Haridas himself, he was not happy. A devotee is never happy if someone commits even if someone does some injustice to us. We're never happy to see that they're punished. We are actually wishing for their welfare. No, Vaishnava Bhancha Kalpatru Vyascha Kripasindu Vyavacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnava is full of compassion. Paraduka Duki. His only unhappiness is to see the unhappiness of others. So Haridas was very unhappy. A devotee should also be unhappy to see the suffering of others. And therefore, in this very contaminated arena of modern day, just like in this time, there was actually Jagya Stala, or places where they performed Jagya. Now the Jagya Stala is the football stadium, baseball stadium. This is where everybody goes for the Jagya. People sacrifice their blood, go and beat each other up, or boxing arena, And even then, it's now become purified. Used to be a place for sports, now people fight. Kali Yuga keeps advancing. When somebody loses, they go and fight the other people, the other side's fans, kill one another. So in this age, the actual Jagya Stala is the heart of the living entity, where we can chant the holy name, where we can invite Krishna to come, just like Srila Prabhupada mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the famous famous purport in the Gundicha Marjana, which I think many of devotees have read and heard. And Srila Prabhupada says that actually the heart is a place, even this whole activity of Gundicha Marjana is actually the activity of preparing the heart so that Krishna can come and sit there. In the Bhagavatam it says, Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhavam Sararuham, that if one wants to purify the heart, then this message of the Srimad Bhagavatam should enter into the ears and penetrate to the heart. And then the lotus flower of our original relationship with Krishna will open up. And we can sit there with Krishna and enjoy that relationship. So this is our desire, that the heart be prepared by the chanting of the holy name. So we can also see what is happening here in this arena of sacrifice, to be just like what's going on in ourselves. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, jeev jago, gora chandra bole, kota nidya jhao maya pisa chira gora. That we should chant the names of Lord Gauranga and wake up the sleeping living entity which is in the lap of Maya. Otherwise, our existence, our consciousness has become just like this arena full of ghostly things, urine and stool, all these nasty things are within our heart, just within our hearts, just like Rishabhdev says, that if one thinks about sense gratification, this is just like the mentality of a hog, just like the mentality just wanting to eat dirty things. So if we're not very careful, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if one does not take great care to eliminate all these aparads, all these offenses from the heart, then what will happen? What will filter into the heart? Kama, krodha. That anger, lust, kama, krodha. What is it? Kama, krodha. Kama, krodha, lobha, modha, matsarya, mada. All these things will creep into the heart. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and madness. Just like nowadays, madness has become, people are seeking after madness. They become intoxicated. They want to become crazy. Let me become crazy. So this is popular. This is actually advertised. This is promoted. So, and also he said, other things will creep into the heart, like moha, shoka, lamentation, and illusion, and hunger and thirst and old age and death. All these things will plague our consciousness. We'll be concerned about these things, always lamenting, always thinking I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. This is what life is about. I'm getting old, let me go to the health food store and get some vitamins. And I'm going to die. So we're all concerned about these things. And if one is not careful and doesn't chant the holy name carefully, then all these things will happen. Therefore, if we take association of the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, then all these things can be prevented. And as it says here, this is the sanctification of Trikapala, the activities which purify the three worlds, which means basically the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Jagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Yajantihi Sumedasaha. If anyone has any intelligence, they should be chanting the holy name. So now, even just in conclusion, now materialistic persons are, without even the devotees preaching, practically any intelligent person can see how the intense greed and lust and desire that is manifesting in the world is destroying the whole world. Just like this last hurricane, someone just wrote an article, a very intelligent man, about how all these things are being caused by global warming. And there's so many things, even materialistic persons who have no Krishna consciousness can see the effects of Kali Yuga. So what to speak of a devotee? So our purified intelligence means that we have to take very seriously what Srila Prabhupada is saying. And, unfortunately this greed that's causing global warming, ecological disasters all over the world, it's not going to stop. We can see that. There's already warnings. Intelligent people have been speaking. Srila Prabhupada said in 1945, we should not cut down the trees. No. And here we are in 2005 and they're still cutting down the Amazon. So, warnings have been there. But greed, this intense greed, just like I remember when we were in Nicaragua distributing books, and we met General Somoza. Not Somoza, but Somoza. No? Yeah. We gave him some samosas. Yeah. And he was actually like the Vedas. And so we went to his house, and we were preaching. He had all these Vedas and everything. His son actually went to school with Adi Keshava in West Point. And he was actually a nice person, just that he was a greedy dictator. And that's what he told us. He said, I like the Vedas, and we showed him Bhagavad Gita, and he said, I like this very much, but what can I do? I just love power. I thrive on power. I can't stop. So we advised him to chant the holy name, but then about a week later, there was a revolution, and they kicked him out. So the point is that people will never, just like Prahlad Maharaj said, that Mater Nakrishne Parato Svato Va. That even by good advice or conferences or, no one will give up their bad habits of griha bratanam, simply diving into the adanta govir, vishitam tamisram, of diving into a hellish condition by their lust, anger, and greed. So therefore, the only solution is that the devotees preach the chanting, just like we read this morning. The only solution is the Hare Krishna movement. This is the only solution. And we may, people may think, oh, you sound just like everybody else. No, you got the only solution. You got the only truth. No. Anyone who's God conscious has the solution. That only by God consciousness. So actually, Srila Prabhupada predicted that in our farms, thousands of people will come. Of course, first the devotees have to come. And then maybe the thousands of people can come. But otherwise, there's great disaster, so whether we're in a farm community or here in the temple, our consciousness should be, how can we get this message of Lord Chaitanya out to everyone? Through books, preaching, chanting, Harinam, Namahata, Bhakti Riksha. This should be our constant concern. Not how can I increase my material pleasure, or how can I increase my material situation or make it nicer. Because this is definitely not the call of the day. If you haven't already done that, you missed the bandwagon. You missed the boat. Because times may make it very difficult. We can see the symptoms. Symptoms are there in the Bhagavatam. Whether it's now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now, or whether it happens in one in some natural disaster, or just the disaster that is confronting every living entity in their daily lives, the only solution is that we give them the holy name and cleanse this arena of impurity with Sri Harinam Sankirtan. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions? Yes.
I feel like it's...
Do I have a comment on the terrible situation in New Orleans?
Well, I feel it's a token that's come to... because of all of the sinful activities going on.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely due to sinful activities. And we understand that. Of course, my comment is that the devotees, actually the temple president of the Mississippi Farm, has requested devotees if they could give some donations. And also, more than that, he's requesting devotees to call FEMA, and you, Subhasprabhu was mentioning today, because the more people that call, what the devotees are asking for, that the FEMA or government give them boga and gas so that they can feed all the people in the area. So this is our response to these disasters. Of course, it's due to sinful activities. So... But we take advantage of these things to help people understand that, yes, this is due to our misactions, but before we can even say that, we have to give them prasadam, we have to give them some Krishna's mercy and show them that the devotees are compassionate. You know? And then they'll listen to us. As Srila Prabhupada said, if someone is hungry, how can they listen to philosophy? Even devotees can't do that. No, it's like, you know, we have a class, 45 minutes, an hour, and we're ready for prasadam. No, so not that we sit for 72 hours like the Goswamis and speak about Krishna Katha. No, we're not so advanced. Any other question? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Chanting Namabhas gives liberation. Is it the five kinds of liberation he's referring to, or?
Yes. He's referring to five kinds of liberation, but specifically referring to just liberation from material existence, or Brahma Sayujya. No. That generally, when people speak about liberation, that's what they're speaking about. But even the five kinds of liberation are not desirable by a devotee. No, they simply, a devotee wants to serve the Supreme Personality of God. Someone else had a question? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. If someone commits an offense supposed to myself and I don't forgive that person, and I should have become very angry at that person, what could happen?
If someone commits an offense to us and we don't forgive them, then we are the losers. You know? Because I did not understand Trinada Pisu Nichena Torori Ivasa Hishnuna Amani Namani Dina. No. Then I'm the loser. That person may also, that depends on the power of our devotional service. Otherwise, how much Krishna will hold someone to that offense? No. One shouldn't consider that I'm such a great Vaishnava that if I don't forgive them, they may perish. No. But one should consider, if I don't forgive them, what's wrong with me? No. That I haven't understood this philosophy. We should immediately forgive everyone. We should take the example of Haridas Thakur. And they also may suffer, you know. So therefore, if we are advanced Vaishnavas, then of course, advanced Vaishnava will naturally forgive. No. And so if one is not so advanced and doesn't forgive, then maybe even the aparad is not going to be taken all that seriously by Krishna. No. But of course, someone will suffer for offending any kind of Vaishnava or any living entity. No. So certainly they will suffer. So therefore, we should forgive them. But we should forgive them also for our benefit, that we actually understood the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No. Any other question? Okay.
Relating to Rati's question is, what if you notice someone tends to make offenses to the devotees in general quite often and you have a hard time forgiving them for that? Or you hold it against them?
Oh, if I see that they're offending other Vaishnavas?
Yeah, you feel resentful towards someone because they're making a lot of offenses to devotees all the time.
Well, we should try to help them understand that this is not good, no? But sometimes, you know, as Chanakya Pandit said, that sometimes when you instruct a foolish person, they simply become angry. No. So we should try to help them or find a devotee who's sufficiently advanced to help them. No. If they won't listen to us, then we try to ask some senior Vaishnava, someone that may be respected by that person, to try to instruct them and ask them to stop doing such a thing. Because the devotee does not tolerate offenses against other devotees. We can tolerate any offense against ourselves. Of course, if someone attacks our body, the body is the property of Krishna. Therefore, you have to defend it because it's Krishna's property. No. So if someone attacks us or even attacks our reputation, if our reputation is instrumental to our devotional service, then we also have to defend that. But not because of my false ego. No, if I defend my body because I don't want to experience pain, or I defend my reputation out of false ego, then that's also not very good. But if I do it in a Krishna conscious sense, that my reputation is necessary for my preaching or for my service, and that my body is necessary for serving Krishna and it's Krishna's property, therefore I have to protect it, then that's the proper consciousness. No. But if someone insults us, generally speaking, on a personal basis, we take it as Krishna's mercy. But if we see that they insult someone else, yes, we should correct that person. No. There are even very extreme measures recommended in the scriptures, but that's not so much recommended for Kali Yuga. No. Especially if the LA Police Department is around. No. Yes. Savasprabhu.
You know, we're talking about devotees and Vaishnava aparad. I heard a lecture by Srila Prabhupada where he said that a devotee is in the liberated stage. And then Prabhupada went on to say that he described liberation as being that a devotee no more has any hankering or lamentation. Mm-hmm. So it appears that if we're committing offenses to other Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, we're probably not much of a devotee.
Yeah.
Because a devotee is liberated. In other words, if we commit offense to someone, it appears that we're either hankering or lamenting about something. We either want something that they have, whether it be looks, power, money, whatever. We're hankering for something, or we're lamenting. So it appears that we're discussing here all this Vaishnava aparad, but it appears that most of us, we're probably not very advanced devotees.
Mm.
And there may be a few liberated souls here, but, you know, not just for myself. I know I'm not liberated. I have a lot of hankering and limitation. So it appears that when you're in that state, we're going to commit offenses.
Yeah, we will. But we should try to avoid Vaishnava aparad.
Yes, we should try to avoid the mad elephant. In other words, at least we should avoid committing offense to the spiritual master or to the great souls. That we should make an effort to. And of course, every devotee, naturally. But it appears that, you know, Kali Yuga and the way things are going, and, you know, all of us, as you mentioned in the beginning of the class, practically that Prabhupada said that we're all Jagai Madai. And
said we've all been saved by Lord Chaitanya.
We've been saved by Lord Chaitanya. So we need to just be absorbed in devotional service, and it seems that we can become liberated eventually.
Yeah, also at the same time, Srila Prabhupada said, call a spade, you know. Otherwise, he said you can say something about someone if it's true, if it's necessary, you know. Otherwise, to protect the movement, or, you know, even though someone may be a great Vaishnava, to protect our movement, we may have to say something in a humble state of mind that this is not right, or we don't agree with this, you know. Also, we can't just become so afraid of aparads, that we don't protect our movement. No. And also on that very point, I always warn devotees that we should be careful about calling ourselves devotees. No. Actually, a Vaishnava, when they're very advanced, they don't think they're a Vaishnava. But they think they're simply someone who's trying to...
Yeah, we're aspiring.
Yeah, aspiring, trying to do some service for the Vaishnavas. So, but actually it is recommended that one avoid any kind of offense, even to the living entities. No.
It appears that we should at least try to be civil with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the material world, karmis, they write a gazillion books about how to just be at least civil.
Yeah.
You know, how to be pleasant with each other and at least try to be encouraging. So at least we should try to come to that platform. And if we do, then there's a good chance we could avoid committing any...
Yes, just being a normal person, which is difficult in Kali Yuga. So I think we'll stop there. All glory to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.